here we are.
It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France. And basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
Haverhill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery. New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93. That's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery.
We are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Flathead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushion Park in Montana.
Mammoth Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Beautiful weather here in Florida. Busby's Wine Join It.
Fantastic. A little bit on the warm side. I'm looking at my temperature gauge. It's showing 131 degrees right now, Fahrenheit. And, oh, wait a second. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my graphics card. That's not the actual outside. Right now in Land O'Lakes, it is 84 degrees Fahrenheit. That sounds a little bit better. So, yeah, well, but still, it was great weather today. It looks like the rain has moved out for the time being, and because we had a couple of days ago, it was really bad.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
A cold front went through.
It went down in the upper lower 80s.
Yes, it did. At night, it dropped down to 75, and
it was amazing. Blistering cold here. So welcome to the show. And I did advertise earlier, the episode information was on South Carolina, and there has been a change of plan. So if you tuned in for South Carolina, refresh the page and you'll see that the new topic is going to be a little mixed tonight. It's going to be fantastic, discussing, I believe you told me earlier, wine blogs, harvest apps, like for smartphones.
Yeah.
And a whole lot more.
Yeah, so
it's going to be very interesting. Yeah, and we'll just expand on that, and it's going to be a great show. If you'd like to get on the program with us, we'd love to have you on. Be sure to give us a call right now. The lines are open. Let me check. Yep, the lines are open. Area code 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235. Get on the program right now, and let's talk about wine. And what was the other thing I was going to say? There was something else I was mentioning. Anyway, I guess not. You know what? There was something. Never mind. It'll come to me after we're off the air or something. So join us and, you know, let's talk about wine. And here's statistics. We're almost up to 20,000 people in the past 6 months, which is fantastic. So I want to thank
you. Amazing.
It is.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you, really.
The people listening in on the archives, and our guests that we've had, fantastic. And thank you for your show of support and for your interest in discussing, you know, the industry and what they do and everything and the different states. And it just continues on. And it's going to get very interesting again coming up when we have some more. South Carolina is kind of rough right now, I think, as far as guests. They're all busy doing things or something.
I think they're still in the middle of trying to finish up harvest and get the things going and all that. And I really think that's a problem because every time I call somebody down there, it's, they're not in, they're busy or something, and I don't get return phone calls. And, I think it's harvest. I think that's the
reason. When you when you call and you introduce, you know, hi, I'm Ron, do you say, like, the famous or the Ron from All About Wine, or you just say, like, hey, this is Ron? Because you may want to say, this is the Ron from All About Wine.
That may be my problem. I haven't been saying that. I'm going to have to start that and shit that doesn't get him to the phone faster.
There you go. Ron.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a good ooh. Yeah. So, I know you're calling. they'll come around. It's a busy time.
We got, in fact, over the next couple, 3 months, we're going to have ourselves a mix-up schedule here. I'm going to be out of town next week. Actually, today's the 20th, next week. But I'm still looking at doing a program, and I'm going to be doing a remote from Missouri. I'm going to visit family and cousins and stuff. And so I'm planning on doing a program next week, but I'll be in Missouri, and I'll try to get someone from up there on the program. And then Mike's going to be having some time off here over the next couple of months, and then he's going to be working and stuff. So we're going to be a strange schedule coming up here. But stay with us. We're still going to bring out the program. It's still going to be on, and we're still entertain and educate you.
Yep. Stay tuned.
That
stay
was
tuned
good.
To the
entertain
Facebook page.
And educate.
Yeah. That is good. I have something similar to that. I think it's informative and entertaining. But I like the educate. I like the educate poem. Stay tuned to the Facebook page for updates. I know Ron's been updating that quite vigorously when things happen regarding the show. So do that. Go to facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. It's all one word, no spaces. Allaboutwinebtr on facebook.com. And, if you have an account on Facebook, like the page. We really appreciate that.
Yes, yeah. And if you have any comments, you can always comment through the Facebook to me.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike and I share everything on that. So, if you have a comment to him or to me, by all means, let us know.
Yep. Fantastic. All right. Yeah. I guess we... go ahead.
You don't need to leave, Mike. You can comment on some of these things I'm going to talk about here, because you and I talked about a couple of these off the air. And one of them I'm going to start with here is one that we did talk about off the air. And this is, I believe it was off the air. I'm almost positive. We're talking about new domain names. I mean, we've talked about the domain.
The wine domain.
Yeah, wine domain and all that stuff, about geographic designations and stuff. They're looking at doing domain names that end in wine or V-I-N, W-I-N dot W-I-N-E or dot V-I-N. And Mike and I were talking about this the other, a while back. I think we might have been off the air. I don't know. I can't remember. But We were kicking around, and the problem that we're finding, the problem is who's going to control it? Who's going to issue this? Who's going to control it? Let me read you a paragraph here, or a couple of paragraphs. This is some of the things that it says. It says, one is interesting. It tries to defend an existing .wine string in an alternative DNS route. It says, unfortunately, an interesting comment addressed to the community evaluation panel is in the language. It's taken into account by the panelist. It is originally submitted in France, and the one in France is very strict because of the areas there and all that. And so they were trying to possibly get that WINE worldwide and promote it more from France, but the parameters that you would have to fall into to be able to use a .wine or .wine is so narrow that it would exclude so many wineries around the world that it probably wouldn't work well. So that's an interesting side note there on what's going on out there. But the Geographic Names Evaluation Panel, which is entitled to Geographic Indication in the Wine Sector. This is, again, we've talked about this before in domain names, or not domain names, but name designations and stuff, like, you know, you can't call things different things anymore. And I've put this out there before. And if you haven't heard the episode, briefly, let me go over it again here. It's back in 2006, actually March 14, 2006, basically the whole world went under name designation rules. And so we can't call things sherry anymore. We can't call things port, Madeira. There's a whole bunch of them. There are 21, 23 different names. Champagne's one of them. Sparkling wine is understood and all that. But Napa is falls under that. You can't call things Napa unless it's actually from Napa. And all sorts of stuff. But the Geographic Indication in Wine is written by the International Organization of Vine and Wine, or it's called the OIV. This organization is based in Paris. And it's also part of the Intergovernmental Organization, which directly affiliated to a strong wine community worldwide. It represents 44 member nations. And basically, these 44 member nations are the ones that are signed up for name designation. These are the ones who fall underneath the heading and stuff like that of the new laws and rules. The agreement went to force on January 1st, 2004. The United States signed on to it in 2006, March 14, 2006. But you got countries in here that you wouldn't think of as having wine too much. Bulgaria, for example. Cyprus obviously has some wines. France, New Zealand, Switzerland, Turkey, Uruguay. Spain, obviously, Sweden, Malta, Moldavia, Montenegro, different ones here that Norway that you wouldn't think, but these are all part of this organization for name designation and stuff like that. So this panel is the one that is actually looking at using the WINE and the VIN, .wine and .vin, as the as names. But, and again, how do you control it? Who's going to set the parameters for this? And this is something that Mike and I talked about. You're going to have it loose enough that other people can get into it, but yet you're going to have it tight enough that anyone can't just use a VIN or WINE thing. I don't know. It's something I've read about, and I've seen different things, and I keep on changing my mind back and forth. Because if you say, okay, you can have one that ends with wine if you are a designated winery. Well, a lot of the states around this country, just this country alone, have slightly different parameters. We say bonded winery. Okay, you can be a bonded winery and you'd be classified as United States bonded winery and a state bonded winery, and that makes you a winery. But does it mean that you have to actually produce it? Can you buy it? What about all these others? I mean, we've talked to people on this program over the past 3 years that would not fall under some of the strict guidelines that they are proposing to get the wine.wine on a domain name. I don't know. It's something that I'm still unsure how you can do this, where you should draw. It would be cool if we can have it. I mean, I think it would be great. You can just type in some winery's name and end it with wine and know that you're going to have a winery as opposed to all the others. I mean, whatever it is, you can do it that way. But I don't know. It's something that I think they're going to have to really set some guidelines on. And if they do, if they make the guidelines too tight, it's going to stop some of them. But if they make it too loose, then, you know, it's
Are they talking wine businesses, people in the industry, or would you say that a person running a wine blog, or because there's tons of those out there as well, you know, travel sites that do wine tastings at, you know, random or whatever, would they be included in that? I mean, there has to be some parameters to say, and then who's going to check them all? You know, it's like the .com were supposed to be commercial entities, and now it's like everybody and his uncle has a .com address. I have 1, 2, 3, I forgot. But anyway, I lost track. You know, it started off as one thing. How are they going to verify this? There's going to have to be a lot in place before this actually goes, you know, global. But the idea sounds like it would be a win-win thing. And then what's going to follow is, are you going to have .beer? Or dot brews, you know,
dot
there's
scotch.
All kinds of
dot bourbon. Yeah,
I'm getting thirsty. there could be all kinds of, you know, it's got a purpose. I mean, it definitely would be something good to have. But they definitely have to do some planning and, like you said, put some parameters in there to say no, we're not going to allow that on here just because, you know. You have a photo of a wine bottle, let's go ahead and list you as a .wine address. I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, you have a great point there on the fact of the wine blogs, though. I mean, if people are writing about wine all the time, and there are some really, you know, good wine blogs out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Could they end it in .wine? I mean, you know, and then you can be directed to it. Or, you know, that's, you know, an excellent point there. So I don't know. I mean, you're right, and I think we both agree it's a great thing to have if we can have a .wine. But I don't know. It's just it's one of those things again where we just throw our hands up in the air and shake our heads because, you know, who's going to set those perimeters and where are they going to be set? You can't. If you make it too tight, like I say, the French right now have one, but their perimeters are very tight, which would exclude so many wineries. So I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not recognized yet. It's you know, it's, I don't know. It's a thing I keep seeing pop up every once in a while. And whenever I see it pop up, I read something else. And basically there's no answer. I mean, nobody has any answers to it. It's just, people are just jumping around trying to figure out, what they're going to do and all that. And nobody has any answers for anything. So, I don't know. It's something that, you know, if anybody has any comments or anybody has anything out there, they, you know, get in touch with us. Let us know. Email me or something. I'll be happy to bring it up on the air and let you know what other people say. But we're just stumped, I guess, on what would happen from here. Going on. I've been calling South Carolina wineries, and I've been getting a lot of, oh, they're busy, oh, they're not in, oh, they're not this, and I haven't mentioned this is the Ron Hunt of All About Wine, but still, I don't know if that would motivate them or not. So I was looking around. I think the reason is, in fact, a couple of them told me that they were busy with the harvest coming in and trying to get things set up and trying to get things going and all that stuff. Because after, it's not just a matter of harvesting; it's a matter of everything that's involved after harvesting. So, based on that, I'm going to read you a quick thing here. This is just a summary of harvesting the grapes. This is not real. Thorough, not real concise, but it's a great little thing to let you know what everyone's going through right now around the country, because this is harvest season. It started probably a month ago in areas, month and a half ago, and it will go on now for probably another month. People will continue to harvest up until October. Depends, I guess, on how the weather's been and all that, which it always does. We've talked about that a lot. But let me go through this. It says, when September comes, harvest time, with September comes harvest time in the vineyard. So from now through October, most of the grapes will be picked and crushed. Juice will be put into tanks, barrels, and wine making will begin. The actual timing of the harvest varies year to year, depending on what types of grapes are being picked and when they have reached their peak ripeness. And that is the residual sugar or the degrees Brix in it. As a side here, a lot of wineries, a lot of winemakers, and a lot of vineyardists don't use machines and stuff. They would just pick the grape off the vine, throw it in their mouth, taste it, and say, this is ready to be picked. It happens a lot more than not, because they know where the sugar is and what they want. They've done it a lot. You can actually taste the difference in the grapes from within 2 week period there, you can really tell how the sugar jumped up. There are several factors that come into play when deciding when to pick. The varietal, obviously, because certain ones are ripe longer after the others. The acid level in the grapes, the tannins, and you can actually get that dryness, that puckeriness when you taste grapes, and the sugar levels. Also, what style of wine the winemaker will be making, and the weather. We just talked a couple of weeks ago to Vernon up in Missouri, and he said he was picking his grapes because they are ready, and he said they were very, very ready, and the weather caused them to really become ripe fast and all that. So it just, the weather does have a big factor on what's happening with the when it's time to pick. The actual method of harvesting can really vary quite a bit. I shouldn't say quite a bit. There's two basic types. You can use machines to harvest, and you can hand pick. Machines, if you've never seen a machine harvest, it looks like a great big tractor that straddles the grapevine, and it's got a conveyor belt, and the tractor shakes the grapevines, literally shakes the grapevines and shakes the grapes off. It's rough on the grapevines. It's hard on the trellises and everything. You really have to be set up to do machine harvesting. And a lot of your raisins and stuff like that out in California are machine harvested. A lot of your grape juices and everything up in New York and Pennsylvania. Welch's does a lot of machine harvesting because it's just cost prohibitive to get out there and have people do it all. But your smaller vineyards will do the hand picking. The hand picking is simple and easy. You get yourself a basket or a bucket or any number of different things to throw it in. You get yourself little clippers or a knife or whatever it is that you are easy to use, and you just snip them right off the vine and throw them in your bucket. And then when you get the bucket full, go out and throw them in a bigger container that on a tractor or something, which will then drive it into the building to start the next step. Mechanical harvesting started back in the early 60s, and this is, like I say, the machine goes down through the rows and beats and shakes it and strips the vines. The grapes fall into a conveyor belt and then is dropped into a waiting bin. The disadvantages of using machines instead of people include the fact that machines cannot distinguish ripe grape clusters from rotted grape clusters, so you get everything. It just shakes everything off. And whereas people are picking up, they say, ooh, those things are bad, and they just skip it and leave it there and let the birds eat them. Also, any type of debris and everything that happens to be on the grapevines, as you're shaking it, dumps it into the conveyor belt and dumps it into the bin. And this includes bugs and leaves and sticks and everything else you can imagine. I will tell you right now, I am not a machine pick fan. I prefer the hand pick. But, of course, with the great big things, great big vineyards, again, I refer back to raisins and you know, Welch's, and they're picking all that. The machines are the only way to do it. Although the after you machine pick, it still goes through a conveyor belt, and you still have a bunch of people sitting there sorting them out and picking them out and throwing away the bad ones and tossing away the damaged ones and the unripe ones and the rotted ones and all that. So you still have people doing that on the conveyor belt. And on the big picking, that takes more people than not. But again, on the big pickings, you have a lot of people do that. Grape skins, which are rather fragile, actually. I mean, you can take a grape. Everybody's had a grape where they've squeezed and popped the juice out. Are pretty fragile, and you know, while you're machine picking, they can break or be damaged, and all this. And this also could start oxidation on the grapes. Now, if you're doing raisins, if you're doing jellies or grape juice or stuff like that, it's not going to be as critical. But if you're doing wine, the oxidation can cause a problem and color in the juice and stuff like that. Also, the tractors, the machine picking, can't be used in hilly terrain or a different terrain that is not conducive for this tractor to run over. So it limits it there, and it has its disadvantages. Again, I'm not a fan of that. Whenever you're doing a vineyard, unless it's, you know, a really, really big vineyard, and then you have to. Benefits of a machine are really in cost. Cost and speed. A machine can run 24 hours a day, harvesting anywhere from 75 to 200 tons of grapes in that 24 hours. It's fast, and it does the job. But then you have, the other stuff I told you about. Hand harvesting also has its advantages and disadvantages, though. Again, cost and quantity can be figured into the disadvantage column simply because you have all the people out there. My brother-in-law and sister have been picking grapes for Vernon up there. I talked to him a couple, 3 weeks ago, and they've been picking grapes for him for a couple years now. And he treats the people well and all that, and gives them a little bit of money, and also gives them wine. So most people are happy with it. The advantage of hand picking is, it's obvious. You know, it's a gentler type of picking. You're not damaging the fruit and stuff. You're watching for the ripe grapes. You're seeing if they're ready to pick, and you're not just grabbing everything. Also, though, the disadvantages of hand picking, which really has to be brought up, is that you probably end up getting stung by a wasp or a bee, because they do build nests in vineyards. So if you volunteer for any of those jobs and you're extremely allergic to those, you might think twice of it because of that. Grapes are then put into big containers when picked and set at the end of the rows to be gathered on the trailers or the truck beds or whatever they're using, tractors or whatever, to take it into the winery, into the shed. And hand picking obviously increases the number of people that are being employed. And a lot of people like to do it, though. I mean, you know, let's face it. If you get a chance to go out and help a winery pick the grapes and all that, you would probably love to do that because it's a cool thing. Once the grapes have been picked and sorted, they may or may not be destemmed. And that's just, you know, taking the stems off. Depending on the type of grape and the type of wine being made, grapes might just go directly to the press. There are numerous different types of presses that are used. While crushing brings about images of I Love Lucy, and everybody knows that episode, and I think it's the worst thing that ever happened to the wine industry. Lucy standing up there stomping on the grapes and everything. Feet are not used. If they are, it's seldom. There are contests, and let me do a little side note here. I was looking at, 3 years ago, I was looking at doing a wine stomp at the winery, just so people can come in and doing Lucy imitation, basically, because everybody knows that. And I was going to have grapes on there. And I started checking to it, and oh my, it is a competition. It involves setting up stands, and people go up onto it, and you have different elimination rounds where people get up there, and you start out with so many pounds of grapes, and they stomp on them for so long, and you can either do individual or teams of two or teams of four, and they stomp on them, and then after the time is up, you measure how much juice is in the container that you have underneath the stand, and whoever wins goes to the next round. And I thought, oh, I am not going to go through all this. I just wanted people to come in and just stomp on grapes a little bit and all that. And so I may end up doing that again, just getting a big container and putting out there and let people out and stomp on grapes for a while. It's not just like a grape there. You got to realize that there's little stems, little sticks, little seeds, little all sorts of stuff in grapes when you stomp them. So it's not just like you're dumping a bucket of your local green grapes you buy at your local grocery store into a container and just stomping around for a few minutes. Go buy yourself 5 pounds of grapes and put it in a little thing and do that, and you get the experience. But it's not an easy task, stomping on grapes. Actually, a lot of the places that do it over in the old world still have like booties and different things that they use, because there are the little sticks and stuff that are in the grapes. So the grapes are placed into a wine press and crushed with controlled pressure. What this does is the crushing breaks open the grapes, allowing the juice to flow, and then the grape juice flows into a waiting tank, and they pull it out of there. They take the stem off. All grape juice is white. Remember this, all grape juice is white. No matter what color the grape is, the inside's always white. So red wines are made red by the contact with the skin. They keep the skin on there. White wines are made from white grapes, or red grapes, we call those blush, white wines made from white grapes where they just, the skin's not in contact with it. Once the crushing has been completed, it's time to start the fermentation, the primary fermentation, and which is actually the next season of winemaking. You're done with your last one, you're ready for the next one. Harvest can last for a few days to a couple months, really, depending on how long, how many grapes you have, when the grapes are ripe, what the weather's like. I mean, if you're getting yourself a lot of rain, you're not going to be able to get out in the vineyard because it's going to be muddy. If you're getting yourself a lot of sun and the grapes aren't developing properly, there's all sorts of things that will vary and cause you problems. So it could last a couple months, depending on the grapes and the vineyard and size of the vineyard and all that, too. It makes a difference. Once the grapes are all in, it's usually followed by a party to celebrate the conclusion of the growing season and the fact that you have the grapes off the vine. Usually everybody's come and, you have a party and celebrate the end of the season and get ready then for putting them in tanks and being sure that they're all properly in the tanks and everything's good. And, then you start working in the winery itself. But that's the harvest. That's what the harvest consists of. So just wanted to tell you what a lot of places are going through right now. And it is that time of year where a lot of places are doing this. And so that's what the harvest consists of. That was since I was having problems getting a hold of anybody in South Carolina because of harvest, I thought that might be something that people would enjoy hearing. Wine blogs. We talked about wine blogs a couple of weeks ago, I think. I mentioned some blogs that are out there and different ones. There's a lot of wine blogs out there. If you are one to follow wine blogs, there's really a lot of cool wine blogs out there. And it's not always easy to find them because they're under all sorts of different names and all that. But I've got another list here. And if you're listening on archives or if you're listening at live, then go over to archives with a piece of paper ready and you can stop and write it down and all that. But I've got a few for you here that I checked out. I pulled these in there. Some of these are pretty nice. Some of them are a little lacking. They don't always keep up. They talk about different things, wines that they've drank. They talk about different wines that they follow in different parts of the world and everything. So check out, and these are all HTTP semicolons /, every one of these start with that. And then this one is Wine Cask, WineCask dot blogspot, blogspot.com. Billy Cripe is the author of that one. There's another one, Wine Pug NYC. I didn't check this one out. I don't know what it's about, but it looks like New York City, maybe. But that's WinePugNYC.com. Another wine blog that I did check out, nice wine blog, is at A, the letter A, WinAtoreBlogGato. A wine and tour blog at two, I think. I don't know. AWINATOREBLOGSPOT.IT/. That is a, I checked this one out. It's a nice wine blog. The guy is, it's written originally in, I'm going to say Italian, I believe it is, or French, but you can, the machine can interpret it. And he also lists a whole bunch of different wines that he's done. And he talks about wine and food pairings and things like that. So it's a good spot, but you're going to have to play around and have it interpreted back into English on that after you start playing with it a little bit and have it interpreted back to English. Another one is Time to Unwine, I guess. I don't know how. Time to Unwine, that's what it is. Time to Unwine. TimeToUnwine.com. And then /blog/. And pretty good site, too. I think this lady's in Florida. A couple of things I've read and all that, I think she's located in Florida somewhere. But she has all sorts of different things about wines all around the country and all around the world and different ones and reviews on them and talking about it and science of different things and a lot of archives and cities that she talks about and all that. So it's a good site. It's if timetounwine.com is unwine/d.com. This one I didn't check out, but it's a brand new site called The Inside Woman, TheInsideWoman.com, The Inside Woman. I didn't look at that. It's a new site. Didn't pull it up. There's another one written by a woman. April is her name, called Brava Wine, BRAVAWINE .WordPress, WordPress.com. That's also, I believe, is a new one. There's another one that is a really good one. I followed this guy quite a bit. It's written by Martin Redman. He's a CPA, actually, but he has a very good blog. His is called, and it's www.enofiles. That's E-N-O-F-Y-L-Z, Enofiles, wineblog.com. E-N-O-F-Y-L-Z. WINEBLOG.com. WineBlog.com. Nice site. The man has a lot of information, a lot of comments, a lot of knowledge. I do enjoy his site an awful lot. Here's one from Canada. This is called vintagewinepicks.com, vintagewinepicks.blogspot.com. Interesting site. He's got archives, but quite a few archives in here. He's talked about different wines. He's lists different wines from Canada and France and around the world and all that, and white wines and red wines, lists the price, and doesn't always tell about them, but there's a lot of comments and stuff on the site about different wines. So it's nice. VintageWinePicks.blogspot.com. And let's see. Oops, I stood down too far. Here we go. This is the Best of British Wine Blogs. This is a get you connected with a whole bunch of British wine blogs, which I'm not going to go into all the different British wine blogs, but there's quite a few on here, and it's from people all over Britain. I read something to you a couple, two or three weeks ago, I can't remember when, about a bunch of Australian blogs. These are a bunch of British blogs, and they've got 12, oh, wait a minute, more than that. They've got 25 of them listed here, a whole bunch of different ones, all done in Britain. You can get to this site by going to www.evines, E-V-I-N-E-S, .co.uk, and then /feature-articles/best-British-wine-blogs, and it'll gives you a list of all the different wine blogs in Britain. Well, not all of them, but 25 different ones here. But a nice site. If you want more information on this, email me. I'll give you the answer. If you want this, you can't find it, email me. I'll send you the actual actual address. Actually, I probably could stick this on the Facebook page if anybody wants it. But, yeah. Another one that is interesting that I've looked at a couple of three times and I've always enjoyed it is suitable for adults. It's a good site, but it gives you a warning when you first pop into it. But it's a nice site. It goes into a whole bunch of stuff, and talks about wines around the world and everything else. And it has a whole bunch of different things in there. A good blog, actually. I think it's a very good blog. But the address to that is World is Wine, WORLDISWINE, .blogspot.com. A nice site, a lot of pictures. It's World is Wine. He says one grape a week, one travel a week. So an interesting site and interesting information and stuff. Another guy from Central New York has a wine site that says Why Wine Blog, WHYWINEBLOG.com. There's let's see, a couple more here that I found quite interesting. Where am I? Okay. This one is actually not just wine, but he has lots of other stuff in there. He talks about coffees, and he talks about tea, and he talks about organics. One aspect of it is wine, and he's got a lot of stuff in there about coffee and tea and stuff, but he lists all different countries and everything and different varietals of wines. And if you're into coffees, he talks about coffees and the origins of different coffees and blended coffees and teas. He also talks a lot about origins of teas and like teas from South America and India and China and all that, herbal teas and green teas and everything. Really pretty complex site overall. He has a lot of information on here about a lot of stuff. But his it's called The Nice Drinks in Life, and that is the site, The Nice Drinks in Life. thenicedrinkslife.blogspot.com. It really is just an interesting site, not just for wine, but for a lot of other stuff. We've talked to wineries. There was one winery we talked to that had a big tea business going on along with the winery, which is really interesting and all that. And the guy at that we interviewed that night said, you approach tea the same way you do wine. You smell it, you look at it, you know, all the stuff and everything else. So I'm sure coffee is the same way. So that's a nice site that compares all of them. There's a new blog site that is out that I don't know where she is and all that. I just noticed that it just came out. It popped up on one of my sites that I get. And it's called www.missmagnoliawine.blogspot.com. And that's MissMagnoliaWine, Miss Magnolia Wine, .blogspot.com. Don't know anything about it. She's just starting it. In fact, she just started it and just now coming out. Then the last one on this list, Barrels Secret. .wordpress.com. This guy is, I believe, Swedish, /barrelsecret.wordpress.com. He's Swedish and writes about wine. A lot of the good sites there. I wanted to share that with you because there are some really, really interesting sites on that. On there for wines and stuff. And along the same line, five wine blogs. This is actually from Food and Wine Magazine. Five wine blogs you should be following. Ken's Wine Guide. He won the 2012 award for Best Wine Blog. That's KENSWINEGUIDE, KensWineGuide.com. Also, another one that took some awards is, and he's been doing this over 5 years with over 900 posts, www.acevola, I believe it's pronounced, A-C-E-V-O-L-A, and it's written by Alfonso Cebola, so that's where the thing, .blogspot.com. The Academy of Wino, that www.academic, Academic Wino, WINO.com. A woman writes this, covers everything, oenology, viticulture, just about everything. She helps decode the, as they say, the geek speak when it comes to wine and all that. An interesting, good spot. Another one that the Food and Wine Magazine said you really should be following is called The Conscious Wine. Over 30 years in the wine business, this particular blogger, actually there's two of them, Jeff Weisler and Vinny Liscio. It's called Conscious, C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S, Wine, W-I-N-E, ConsciousWine.com. Talks about a bunch of stuff. So it's really, I checked that out. And these five I'm giving you here are really very good. And then the last one, written by Dave White. He blogs every day about everything. A busy man. Each week he features a question and answer with a different winemaker. He just really goes into a lot. Terrorist is the name of the site, www.terrorist.com. You can pull him up every day and find something new on that. He won the best new wine blog during the 2011 Wine Blog Awards. So he's got himself a lot of stuff going for him. But those are five very good wine blogs. And so you might want to check those out. I do have to warn you, though, if you're going to check out wine blogs, don't forget me. Come back and listen to All About Wine. And those are just supplemental. We're your number one here for you. So keep us in mind. I want to talk about a wine app here. This is a wine app for normal people, and normal people in quotes. This is from Forbes magazine. They said that most people don't have the knowledge or the experience to really understand a lot of the apps out there. And so this particular one, the article says there are a number of great mobile wine apps out there, but most of them cater to hardcore onophiles. For the average consumer, the apps are a bit bulky, confusing, and time-consuming. There's a new app called Vivino, V-I-V-I-N-O, that makes for a good wine shopping sidekick. The app enables users to simply scan in and rate wines they've tasted. A simple 5-star scale classification, so it keeps it easy for you. The key is really only scanning wines you're really into, so you can check them out in the future. The person who wrote this said, having scanned 30 wines so far, you can attest to the ease of use. Each scanning session takes about 5 to 10 seconds total, and then it's in there. The app currently recognizes about 500,000 wines, so that they're going to be covering just about anything you're going to run across, anywhere from the Tesco or Safeway or Winn-Dixie's or any Total Wines or wine warehouses and all that. The cool part, though, wines are not recognized by the app, are placed in a queue for identification by a real human. So that means that after you scan it, a user is on the way to without having it without a hitch, whether the wine is identified or not. But in most cases, they are readily available with over a half a million of them available. You can understand why. It is available on iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and Windows Phone devices. It was launched in early 2011. And has seen an increase in usage lately since its launch. More than 1 million bottles have been scanned and downloads on the iPhone app alone, and it's averaging about 1,000 per day. So good app if you're not into a whole bunch of these heavy apps that start talking about all sorts of other stuff that you really aren't interested in, and you just want a simple app for yourself. Vivino, V-I-V-I-N-O. Oh, you can check that out. I didn't know if I was going to have enough to talk about tonight. And here I just looked at the clock, and I just never seem to have a problem finding things to talk about, do I? One other thing I want to talk about here is the 12 most prevalent wine myths. And I'll end up talking about this real fast here, and then Mike can give you the closing and talk about the festival we have coming up this weekend. Artificial flavors are added to wine. No, they are not. I get this a lot in the winery. People walk in and they smell it, and I said, "You smell that little raspberry or something." Oh, yeah. Do people add those? No, they don't. That's certain grapes will give you certain flavors and aromas all the time. That's what it's from. It's from the grapes. Artificial flavors and stuff aren't added. If it is, it's noted on the label. You can have yourself a raspberry Merlot, but then it'll tell you raspberry was added or blended with it or whatever. But there's no artificial stuff. There's no extra things added to it. Wines get better with age. No, they usually don't. Don't be aging wines. Most wines are made to be drank. In the world, 95% of all wines purchased are consumed within the first 30 days. This is a statistic I read about a year ago, and I was shocked. But when you start thinking about it, it's very true. So wines are made to be drank. Wines aren't made to be aged. So take them home, drink them. You know, a year to 18 months, that's really your maximum for most wines. White wines can't be aged like red wines. Well, yeah, they can, especially if it's a higher amount of tannins. There's a lot of Chardonnays that improve with age. And sweet wines, you can get the German ice wines, your Tokays, your Hungarian Tokays, your French Sauternes. All these are really quite ageable. And also there you pick up Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon are all these. Those are ageable too. There was recently a bottle of 1811 Chateau Yukon Sauvignon Blanc Semillon blends sold for $117,000. I mean, and it's good. The people aren't going to buy it if it's not good. Next one, screw cap wines are cheap and of poor quality. No. Remember what I told you just a few seconds ago, that most wines are drank within the first 30 days? You can stick an old rag inside there. If you're going to drink it that fast, it's not going to make a difference. So screw caps or plastic or rubber or any type of other closure is just as sufficient as anything else. If you're going to age the wines for any length of time, I would think a cork would be better. They are finding now that screw caps on a wine that are aging tend to raise the SO2 levels or the sulfite levels in wine. They don't know why. They're still trying to find out, but they're seeing that wines age with screw caps, the sulfites jump up. Speaking of sulfites, number five, sulfites are naturally occurring in all wines. They do not cause headaches. You know, if you're allergic to sulfites, you know by now, so don't worry about it. Red wine should be served at room temperature, and white wines should be chilled. All wines should be chilled. We tend to serve red wines too warm. We use room temperature. There is no standard. Red wine should be served between 65 and 67 degrees. White wines, some people even say cooler than that for red. Some people even say around 60. Probably a good range between 60 and 67. Depends on what you're doing with it. White wines, quite a bit cooler. 45 to 50. And then bubblies really get them down colder than that. But white wines in the refrigerator for about 2 hours before you serve it. Red wines about a half hour, 20 minutes to half hour. Chardonnays are oaky and buttery. Oaky and buttery are two different things. The butteriness comes from the malolactic fermentation. You can have a malolactic fermentation on any wine. In fact, a lot of reds are put through a malolactic fermentation that gives the butteriness. Oaky is aged in oak or in contact with oak, so they are two different things. Alcohol levels on bottles of wine are precise. No, they're not. In the United States, we have a 2% plus or minus leeway. And I just read recently it says 1% plus or minus. Oh, I don't know. I heard 2%. Maybe it is 1. Legs tells you the quality. Not really. You can't, you know, everybody's always talking about the legs on the wine and all that, but that really doesn't tell you. All wines will have legs, some slower and thicker than others. And I personally am a leg man. I look for them in there, but it really doesn't, you know, smelling it and tasting it's the best way. Red wines come from red grape juice. Remember, all juice is clear. Color comes from the skin. Whoa. And open a bottle of wine, let it breathe. You really don't need to. If a wine, older wines probably need to breathe. All these young wines we have now is probably not going to make a whole bunch of difference. So that's it. I didn't think I was going to have much to talk about tonight, and I ended up talking about a lot more than I thought I would. So.
Yeah, very good. Very good. You do have Wine Fest coming up this Saturday, and let's see, that would be September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And let's get to that promotion real quick, and we'll be right back in about a minute. So hold on just a second. We'll be right back. Okay. I think this is, never mind.
Yes, it is.
Coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Wine Fest at Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Come out and enjoy the live music. Relax with a glass of world-class wine. Participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have fun and shop our vendors offering many unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. WineFest is a great time to pick up unique gift items. Enjoy your weekend with us at WineFest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From I-75, take exit 285 and turn west for approximately 4 miles. See you Saturday at WineFest.
Yep, there you go. And a couple of other things to mention. I believe we're in, are we in overtime? We are.
Yes, we are.
Okay. You also are, Lisa of Raffle Rescue, which is a pet assistance program, will be promoting Play for a Day for Two raffle. One winner will receive a gift card for a Slice of Life Pizzeria plus two passes to play at any Congo River Rapids Golf Center putt-putt. Prize value is $40. Pet food donations are needed for our area's pets in need. Bring your donation of pet food for a 10% discount on your wine purchase. That's going to be awesome. So stop by the Florida States Winery this Saturday and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. for Wine Fest and bring in your pet food donations and receive a discount. That's fantastic. There's also going to be, I saw some announcements in here, a yard sale a fundraiser for animals October 6th and 7th, rain or shine, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 10810-10810 Kitten Trail in Hudson, Florida. That's going to be a yard sale fundraiser for animals. They are accepting usable donations of any kind prior to the yard sale. Date pickup is available, and there is a phone number we can give you if you'd like to email the show for that phone number. It's 727 area code, which is over on the further west than where I'm at right now. But anyway, there's also a Dine for a Cause fundraiser coming up. Texas Roadhouse Restaurant, October 8th, 2012, from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m., located on Cortez Boulevard in Brooksville. Texas Roadhouse will donate a portion of your bill to help us help our area's animals in need. And there are going to be a lot of vendors. The list is very extensive at the Wine Fest this Saturday. It's going to be amazing. And don't forget, there's also the what do you have the tip jar? I didn't see it at the top here.
Wounded Warriors Project.
Yes, yes. Stop by anytime. You can stop by this month. And this month's tip jar is for the Wounded Warrior Project. And it is a group that helps all wounded veterans. So stop by and offer something to the some good cash into the tip jar. They'll say something because you'll see candy wrappers and all kinds of stuff. But put something in there for the Wounded Veterans, the Wounded Warrior Project, and help out. That's going on continuously. You don't have not just a Saturday at Florida States Winery. So come on out, and it's going to be a great weekend, and love to see you there. And tell them that you heard about the you know, the Wine Fest on All About Wine, and Ron or Kathy or somebody will look at you kind of funny and, oh, okay.
We'll say, oh, wow.
Yeah, hey, there you go. Some feedback. Woohoo. And if you do have feedback or comments, or you want to be a guest on the show, you're in the wine industry, or, you know, maybe something we talked about tonight, if you know, in between harvest times, or you run a wine blog or something, you have a comment about the domain names we talked about or any other topics that we've covered here on the show, contact us. The email address is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Love to hear from you and let us know you're out there listening, and or connect with us on Facebook. And that's always a good possibility. Also, we'd like to see that you're out there listening. So do that. And Ron is going to be – did we already say the remote from – that was in the beginning of the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so the next show is going to be September the 27th and 7 p.m. Eastern time here, and it's going to be interesting.
It should be fun.
A long-distance show right here on Blog Talk Radio from Missouri.
From Missouri.
So that'll be good. Yeah, so that'll be good. Join us next week, and, you know, if for some reason you can't get, you know, somebody in the wine industry up in Missouri, you'll have family members to say, hey, come over here and talk. So, that'll be cool. What are you drinking? I'm, you never know. Anything's possible. So that'll be good. Join us next week at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for listening, and I'm going to do the – well, you're going to hear the song again. Oh, gosh. Thank you all, and have a good rest of the week and a good night tonight. And we'll see you all next week right here on All About Wine on Blog Talk
Radio. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. And here we go again.
Everyone dance.
Everybody stand up and dance.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/AllAboutWineBTR. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's FloridaEstatesWines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.